sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey everybody, welcome on into this Hump Day Wednesday, May 21st, 2025 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. We're going to have Dr. Jeff in from Sioux Animal Hospital in the next segment. So if you have any questions for Ask the Vet, text them to me right now at 231-360-5140. We'll be sure to ask Dr. Jeff about your questions. You can listen to the answer, then give me any text message, follow-up questions you may have. Greatly appreciate it. Ask the Vet with Dr. Jeff from Sioux Animal Hospital in the next segment. Well, it didn't take long. She said there would be a big announcement this week. Well, she did it. She pulled the trigger. The former state representative, now Ingham County clerk, has officially announced her bid to run for Secretary of State in the caucus process. That's going to happen next year, 2026, by the Democrat Party. This woman is the most liberal, progressive former state representative turned clerk, and she has bragged openly about being the first clerk to perform the first gay marriage wedding ceremony in the state. Ingham County Clerk Barb Byram announced this morning that she will be running as a Democrat to be the next Secretary of State, arguing that she has the elections and administrative experience to serve Michigan taxpayers. Not citizens, taxpayers. Byram, 47, of Mason, said she sees herself improving on the successes of the current Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson. Among them being branch office appointment process, while also speeding up campaign finance complaint investigations and making it easier for the public to learn basic information about state-level political candidates. I love election administration. For me, I've always had a passion to serve in an office that touches so many lives, Byram said. This is a way to take the service of my neighbors and my community to the next level. Byram owned a family hardware store in Charlotte for years prior to serving as a state representative in the mildly competitive rural area of Ingham County. She served as state rep from 2007 through 2012, term limited out of office. Byram ran and was elected Ingham County clerk back in 2012. She coasted to re-election in 2016, 2020, and 2024. In the past election, she received the second highest number of votes of anyone on the ballot in Ingham County. Again, bragging about performing the very first same-sex marriage after it was declared legal back in 2015. So, we'll see where this goes. Pretty interesting announcement early on. So far, Deputy Secretary of State Agaho Edidvi is in the race. No Republicans have publicly declared their candidacy yet. Ask the Vet. Dr. Jeff is in the house. Text me your questions, 231-360-5140. Short break. We'll be right back.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
Yes, I knew it all along. I'd have to come back home. Cause it's living on the road.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment. On this Hump Day Wednesday, joining us on the line here soon is Dr. Jeff from Sioux Animal Hospital up in Sioux St. Marie, running a little late here getting the connection put together. But there he is. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, Jeff, got a question actually for you right out of the box. Noticing more and more deer in our subdivision. what is causing the deer to come into our subdivision? We've never seen them here in our subdivision before. Usually they're in farms around, surrounding the area. They have a couple farms close by. Normally they're there. But what would cause deer to go into subdivisions?
Just like anything else, food, food, water, shelter. They tend to feel a lot safer in there, too, because there's less coyotes or less pressure in there, too, I guess. And the deer will be anywhere. I was in Detroit this weekend, and coming home, literally downtown Detroit, a roadkill deer right on I-75. And it was like, and we're in Detroit. Deer are everywhere, especially because the numbers are a lot higher right now, too. Multiple reasons. One reason is, you know, hunter recruitment. I think we talked about this in the past and things like that. You know, not as many people hunt anymore, so the deer numbers are higher. And that's a whole other three beer conversation between the DNR and baiting, whether you should bait, not bait. You know, things like that.
Sure.
But that's basically the bottom line. Not enough people hunt anymore. And so the numbers are up and the population is up. So obviously they have to spread out. And subdivisions, lots of food, shelter, water. You know, usually they don't get harassed. You know, people usually aren't shooting at them on the subdivision.
Right.
So.
Now, that triggers a question I always thought about. When deer are spooked or, like you say, shot at or whatever, do they have a good enough sense of location to say, okay, we're never going back to that area? Is that shortly forgotten? How does that work in a deer's brain, if you know? What are their tendencies when it comes to being threatened or scared off?
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on how intense you are harassing them in that area. But yeah, if they get harassed enough in an area like that, they'll just start avoiding that area. Or they'll learn the pattern, which is typically happens about November 16th around here, where, okay, I'm only coming out at night because we
Right.
don't get shot at night. So they learn pretty quick. They can, if you can overhunt a stand or an area. And at that point, you've got to back off and, let that area rest. Because if you're in there all the time, they're going to learn you're there when you're there.
Yeah.
And things like that. And the thing is, deer, you know, people think, well, deer are afraid of people. Deer are afraid of tractors or noise or things like that. I'm like, not really. Deer are afraid of things out of the normal. Like on the farm, they know what the normal, because my buddy's farm I hunt down by Ionia. They know what the normal rhythm of the farm is. And, of course, during deer season, all of a sudden that rhythm changes because now we're out hunting. They pick up on that, and that alerts them. And, honestly, the biggest deer I've shot was they were out combining corn. They were picking corn late. And I'm like, well, here, give me a ride out. So middle of the day, rode out on the combine. He drops me off in one corner of the field. They're combining. He starts combining corn, and I sit there, and not a half hour later, 8-point buck walks out just because, hey, he's normal. He's combining. This is a normal thing that goes on. Didn't expect anybody to be there because you think you wouldn't actively hunt a field that was being worked. But in that situation, and it depends farm to farm, individual. I mean, even all the deer hunters out there know it, the only consistent thing about deer is they can be inconsistent. but on that farm, we had this guy pattern and we knew where he was going to come out at. So it's almost like a Navy SEAL operation where you get an insertion and get your shot and then you got to call for an extraction. And
right.
So that was a nice thing, at least about hunting on the farm, because I didn't have to drag any deer. You know, you'd shoot one because we're in the fields. We'd call them up. And I can remember one year, this was back late 90s, and during the other high deer population, and they were just loaded with deer. And actually, he wound up getting a block tag for like 30 because it was just so bad for the crop depredation and stuff, because deer can mess up crops. And it was basically, he just drove, we'd call, okay, we got another one, and he'd just drive around with a tractor with a bucket. We throwing deer in there, and filled everybody's freezer, and then everything we had left over took down to the local like food pantry thing.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what they call it now.
Yep.
But they loved it because all of a sudden they get this good, lean, healthy meat for free. Mm-hmm. So
Cool. Now, in that point, you said back in the day when it was another big herd population.
Yeah.
The budget process is going on in Lansing right now. And, a Republican senator, John Bumstead. Yeah, he's a bum, all right. B-U-M, Bumstead. Supporting increasing the licensing and fishing licensing fees here in the state of Michigan, which will probably result in even less people hunting can being afford to hunt. But most importantly, he's almost doubling the out of state residence licenses. How big from your knowledge of, you know, interacting with hunters and knowing the profession, knowing what people do with as far as guides and things like that, isn't this going to hurt even getting more hunters into the state of Michigan from out of state? And what's that going to do to the herd population even further?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's true. Yeah, because it's going to you're going to raise your bar for entry, you know, into the sport. Now, think about it. If you all of a sudden decide that you want to start deer hunting and start, you know, that's a significant investment in time and money that you have to do that. That just adds to it, too. And even then, I still don't get it. Okay, we're overpopulated in Doe right now, especially down Ingham County. Jeff, my buddy, lives in Barry County. Down there, it's like, you know, you can't knock a rock over and there's five deer run out. Well, back then, a doe tag was $5. Now they're what, 20?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then I know they were talking about the increasing it. I haven't seen the details on it. So, you know, now on one side of it, yes, the money does go to support, you know, you need a doge on it. Okay, you want this money. Okay, I'm not opposed to paying more money if it has a direct benefit to the population, to the hunting and things like that.
Sure.
If the money's just getting funneled off somewhere else, it just gets dumped into the general fund and we never see it again, then no. You know?
Right, exactly.
And so that's why I'd be more curious. I'm like, all right, you know, it's like when my kid comes to me, everybody got teenagers, you know, they come and they want $20. Why do you want $20? What do you want it for? You know,
sure.
You got to make an argument. Like, even my kids do not get an allowance. You said you want to do something.
Yep.
They'll come, hey, I need money. What can I do to earn money?
Good.
This? I'm like, yep. Yeah.
Training them the right way, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the other aspect of this, I just got another text message for you. Do you think it's going to be affecting the size of bucks with this many does out there? We've talked about this before. Also, a lot of hunters still wanting buck trophies. Why won't they shoot more does? What do you think we could do? What could we recommend to our state reps, our state senators, and could we petition the DNR to make changes? What's your thoughts?
Yes, I mean, directly, if you have an unbalanced sex population, okay, you will not have many bucks and you won't have big bucks. Okay. It just period. That's how it works. If you look in places that have large, and some states even have earn a buck. You have, you want a buck, you got to shoot a doe. Because if an area has a carrying capacity, it can carry 100 deer and that's it. And you have 80 does, you're only going to have $20, period.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can only hold 100 deer, and the land doesn't care whether it's a buck or a doe. That's what it's going to hold. And the old thing too, especially old school guys have the theory like, okay, you know, if you have a $50 and 50 does, how many does get bred? And the answer is 50. And then they think, okay, suppose you have 50 does and 10 bucks. They go, how many does get bred? And they think the answer is still 50 because obviously, theoretically, you know, each buck could breed more than one doe. Sure. However, in the real world, the answer is 10. So almost your breeding, your number of pregnant does is not dependent on the number of does you have. It's how many bucks you have.
Mm, okay.
So, 'cause each buck breeds an average of 1.2. It's less than 2. It's like 1.3 or 1.4 does. Because you think about it, that buck's not just running from doe to doe to doe to doe. And they've got to go find that doe in heat. They got to tend the doe in heat, wait till she's in estrus or, you know, receptive being bred.
Sure. Which
is only a very short window. Breed that doe, and then because they tend to kind of cycle ish together, you know, now he's done with that doe. Now you got to start all over again. You got to go find another doe,
sure,
tend the doe, fight off the other buck. I mean, it's not like, I think what's happening is those people are using the same analogy. Like if you had a bull in a pasture with cows,
right.
Yeah, if you had one bull in a pasture with 20 cows, how many cows get bred? Yeah. 20 of them because sure. They're there, they're contained. He doesn't have to fight with anybody else. He doesn't have to go look for them.
Yep.
You know,
right there. Where, easy targets, yep, basically.
Yep.
I got another text message. Now they make you buy a small game license before you can buy a deer license, which is a bunch of crap. I don't want to hunt small game. Is that something that, you know, we need to get rid of as well?
Well, yeah, this they've snuck this kind of in. Remember, this was way back when you still actually got stamps in a stamp book and you still had, yep, back tags.
Sure.
You used to have to buy your passbook or whatever was $2 or $3. And then you would buy your licenses and stick them in your book. It's almost the same thing here. They're saying this is your base license. I'm using my air quotes here, which covers your small game. And then
you got to pay extra for deer.
You
got to
pay extra for deer, extra for, excuse me, extra for this, extra for this. And yeah, you know, well, now to play devil's advocate, remember we have a certain amount of fixed income or fixed expense that we have in managing our wildlife. But if we have reducing hunter numbers, that's reducing the number of people that are now paying into that system. Then therefore, yeah, supply and demand, if you have less people paying in for a fixed expense, each person's going to have to pay in more. So I think, yeah, I mean, granted, it's a complicated, just like everything else. It's, you know, things are always complicated, but I think two things. Yeah, the state needs to own up, okay, I want to see the budget. We need a citizens oversight committee is what we need.
Amen. Absolutely.
Not governor appointed either. Yeah. And, okay, where are you spending our money? All right. Because like I said, most people are probably out there. We're not opposed to, just like on, you know, the federal government, I'm not opposed to paying taxes as long as I know my taxes are going to benefit America or, you know, are to the, our benefit.
Sure.
Same thing. Not opposed, yep, to paying license fees.
Got it.
As long as we're getting it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Want to give out the phone number if you'd like to ask Dr. Jeff more questions or schedule an appointment for your animal. Give him a call at 906-635-5910. And we greatly appreciate you, Jeff. Right. Thanks for your input. Yep, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, talk to you next week.
Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan's leading news.